في مخاضرة حق الدنيا كل شيء مخاضرة سكين
السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة
الله. I'm sorry أخذنا وقت الغداء حقكم. ليش نساوي ضاع محاضراتكم وقت الإجازة. Okay, the topic I'll try to make it quick عشان تقدر تأخذ سندويتش قبل ما تمشوا. بدينا نرجع للعمليات. Okay, the topic I'll be talking to you about skin and soft tissue tumors. They can arise from any histological structure made up in the skin. So they can arise from the epidermis, the connective tissue, the glands, the muscles, or the nerves. They can be classified as any other tumors in the skin or any soft tissue as benign, pre-malignant, and malignant. The most common benign tumors in the skin are your hemangiomas. They can be subdivided into two types, involuting and non-involuting. You know what the word involuting means? That means it will regress on its own. Spontaneous regression. The non-involuting one is one that will not regress. I don't know how you see this picture, but you see it here?
Port
wine. There it is. It's not a port wine. This is called the strawberry nevus. Here we go again. The involuting hemangiomas, they're called hemangiomas of childhood. They're 95% of all hemangiomas. They are not true neoplasms, but they are hamartomas. The difference between a hamartoma and a soft tissue tumor. The definition of soft tissue tumor are normal cells, excessive amount in normal arrangement. A hamartoma are normal cells in excessive amount in abnormal arrangement. Okay? I mean they're normal cells, excessive amount, but the arrangement of the cells are abnormal. They're basically neoplasm of the endothelial cells and they undergo complete spontaneous involution or regression with time, usually by the age of 7. They usually present at birth or appear 2 to 3 weeks after birth. They grow very rapidly for 4 to 6 months. Then they spontaneously involute completely between 5 to 7 years. Now the most important thing about these involuting hemangiomas as in treatment is that we do basically tell the parents, please do not touch these tumors. Because if you touch them and try to play with them, you leave scars. Where if you leave them on their own, they will spontaneously regress. But they are hemangiomas, so they are vascular tissue. So we have to give them advice that if this scratches or bleeds, it will bleed profusely. So the most important thing you tell them is, if it bleeds profusely, please apply pressure on it and bring him to the emergency. Because the patient can bleed a lot of blood. Now, the other types of hemangiomas, non-involuting hemangiomas, that we do interfere surgically, are the ones, for example, applying to the upper lid. Now, why is that?
Critical position.
Not a critical place, but the body and God Almighty has given the eye the ability to be stimulated by light. If the hemangioma grows too fast and the eye cannot be stimulated by light, the brain will cancel that eye completely. So the patient will be blind by cancellation, by elimination. Even though you have a normal eye, a normal retina, a normal nerve, everything normal about the eye. So we reduce the tumor so that light goes into the eye, stimulates the brain, and he doesn't lose the eye. If you keep a piece of thread on your face for 4 or 5 days, you will see it for the first 4 or 5 days. After 4 or 5 days, you won't see it anymore. This is the brain's ability of adaptation. Okay? They can be subclassified into superficial, combined, and deep. These involuting type of hemangiomas. The superficial ones are what you saw in the first picture. They're called strawberry nevi. Okay? And then there's the nevus vasculosum. And the other one is your capillary hemangiomas. They are sharp, demarcated, slightly raised lesions with irregular edges. The combined means it's superficial and combined to the deep. These are also sometimes called strawberry nevi, or they could be capillary or cavernous hemangiomas. They appear bluish tumors and may extend deeply into the subcutaneous surface. The deep ones are your cavernous hemangiomas. The deeper they go, the more bluish or purple they are. The more superficial they are, the more reddish they are. Treatment requires no treatment except talking to the parents, convincing them, because there are a lot of stress between them and in the community that you have to do something about the child, that you're negligent, that you don't take him to the doctor. Basically, the grandmother says, well, if you don't take him, I will take him. So the only way you convince them is to take pictures of this patient. Every 3 months, let him come and see you again, and you take another picture. And when you show them the difference in regression, he will be convinced. Okay? So reassurance. The non-involuting hemangiomas, on the other hand, are true tumors. They're usually present at birth. There is no rapid growth period. They grow proportional to the growth of the patient. As the patient grows, they grow. They persist into adulthood. They cause a severe aesthetic or cosmetic problem. They may sometimes cause arteriovenous fistulas, which may eventually lead to heart failure and problems with that. Treatment, no matter what you do, they're usually unsatisfactory. Example of them are your port wine stains. I'm sure you see patients with half the face red or half of it not. They persist in the face as flat patches correlated usually to a branch of the sensory nerve. So if it's the fifth nerve, you see exactly half the face or half the body or whatever. Microscopic appearance, thin-walled capillaries distributed throughout the dermis lined by thin, mature endothelial cells. Treatment is usually not very satisfactory. Now laser has come up. It has improved the treatment a bit, but still it's more agonizing, and it does have a much, much breakthrough in laser treatment. Because laser is a focus light that we can affect, especially what we call the ruby laser. And this affects the blood vessels without affecting the skin and the subcutaneous tissue. So you can actually coagulate the vessels without destroying the skin. Some people tried tattooing. Some people did actually even radiotherapy. But radiotherapy will affect the skin as well, and you get more scarring than any other thing. The malignant tumors. The three most common ones that we'll be talking about are your basal cell carcinoma, your squamous cell carcinoma, and your malignant melanoma. The most common tumor in the pale or white race are your basal cell carcinomas. They are called rodent ulcers. Predisposing factors are age greater than 40, excessive exposure to ultraviolet light, people who do not have the protection that God has given them for the ultraviolet light by having very light skin, because usually these light skins live in the northern hemisphere, which have less sun, but with people now immigrating, for example, Europeans going down to Australia where they shouldn't be, or going down to South Africa, running after the diamonds, they get exposed to a climate which they're not made to be exposed to. So they have a very, very high risk. Or a lot of Westerners who work here and go to the desert every day, they get excessive amount of ultraviolet radiation, so they're getting more and more exposed to this. The other thing is people who are going to solariums now. In Europe, everybody wants to have tan. As a human race, nobody is satisfied with what he has. If he has a big nose, he wants a small nose. If he has curly hair, he wants straight hair. If he has straight hair, he doesn't want any hair and shaves it all off. And if he doesn't have any hair, we plant it for him. So this is human nature. Never satisfied with what they have. Okay? So the Europeans go into these solariums, which is very short-wave ultraviolet radiation, and they want to be tanned. And the tan-skinned people want to be bleached. And us plastic surgeons thrive on that. With the people's dissatisfaction in what they have. Okay? This is a patient here. Of course, we don't see these very big, excessive basal cell carcinomas usually in the West because everything is exposed. This poor lady comes from a small village, having her head covered every day, doesn't bother her until they get so excessive and so big. Then they come to us. Now, they call them rodent ulcers because they are more like rodents. Rodents here, القوارض. And زي الفئران والأرانب, they nibble at their food. And this tumor actually does the same to tissue. It's usually a locally malignant tumor. There's never in medicine, but it rarely metastasizes. When this occurs by death, it's usually by erosion into tissues, like going into the brain, nibbling like this patient. You leave her covering her head, nobody sees her hair. So when it goes so bad that it actually goes into the brain, into the bone, invading a large vessel, and they die. So this is the tumor after excision. This is her. We use local flaps. We burned actually the outer table to expose the diploid, so we get some granulation tissue, so it will take a skin graft. We try to leave the periosteum as much as possible. If it's not involved, and if the periosteum is there, it can take a skin graft as well. This is the patient afterwards. Now, it is known to be a growth is slow, steady, insidious. Takes several years may pass before the patient becomes concerned. Invades adjacent tissue with massive ulceration. As we said, rarely metastasizes, and death occurs by invading deeper tissues or extending into intracranial blood vessels. Appearance, small translucent skin elevations, usually on the area that's exposed more to the sun. The forehead, the cheeks. In Saudi Arabia, keeping his hand outside, it's the right hand. In Britain, keeping the left hand outside, it's the left hand. Okay? Anyways, we drive on the right side of the road, that means on the left. They drive on the wrong side of the road, and they drive on the right. But that's British. Okay? They have rolled pearly edges, telangiectatic vessels may occur. Sclerosing morphe is a modified type of basal cell carcinoma. It's less common. You find elongated strands of basal tissue that infiltrate the dermis. They're usually flat, whitish, waxy appearance, firm to palpation. Erythromatous basal, as the name says, it's usually pinkish in color. They're reddish because of the erythromatous. They're called body basal. Most frequently, they're seen on the trunk. The appearance are red plaques with atrophic center, smooth, slightly raised borders. Now, pigmented basal, sometimes mistaken for melanoma, they're actually basal cell carcinomas, but they're dark. In Saudi Arabia, they're found quite a lot, and people think it's melanoma, and that's why we do an excisional biopsy first. If it's a basal cell carcinoma, alhamdulillah, it's treatable with an excision of about 2 millimeter margin, you've treated the problem. Whereas a melanoma has a very high mortality rate and
metastasis.
Treatment, radiotherapy. I don't like radiotherapy because we have no tissues for histopathology to say that you're clear. Good in treatment of structures that are difficult to reconstruct. What is difficult to reconstruct? We can reconstruct a lot of things. They won't look as normal, but they look as close as normal as possible. They should not be used in patients under 40 because they have a more risk of what? Mutations, and then reduces the life risk or getting other tumors. Patients who fail to respond to radiation therapy now, and treatment is usually 4 to 6 weeks. Now, what makes a tumor radiosensitive or radioresistant is more atypical the cells are, the more radiosensitive they are. The more typical they are. So if the more regular, the more closer they are to normal tissue, they'll be more radio-resistant. So if they're radio-resistant means I need a higher dose to destroy them, I have to destroy normal tissue. But if they're fast-growing cells and they have mitotic figures, they will be destroyed much faster and a lower dose than destroying normal tissue. Curettage and electrodissection, this is done by, of course, our fellow dermatologists. We think that they're surgeons, but they're actually not surgeons. principal quarter, again, no tissues for histopathological. Surgical excisions, which we do it very nicely, we excise it nicely and we charge them also nicely. Okay, and we have tissue for histopathology, which we can send and say, okay, your edges are clear. If they're not clear, we usually mark them with sutures, tells you, oh, go on the upper pole, so we go back, take a little more tissue, send it for histopathology. But this doesn't, of course, make it any better than continuous follow-up of the patient, which we have to do. Okay, I don't know if this picture is good there. This is a patient here with a nose, big basal cell carcinoma on the nose. We did small local flaps. Here we are, they look much better when they heal. Okay, now we come to the second most common tumor in our Caucasian races. The first most common tumor in our fellow African races. Okay, causative agent, same as basal cell carcinoma. And most common sites are in the ears, the cheeks, the lower lips, and the back of the hands. I think you all know why. Okay, especially the African people, they have big lips. Okay. Other causative agents are chronic contact to tars and hydrocarbons. Very important to what our patients who are exposed to more, what we call them, industrial problems. Like people working labors in paint clubs, paint shops and things, they're exposed to the hydrocarbons. These hydrocarbons also will give them a high risk. And these patients are also important when you have what you call occupational hazards. Also chronic ulcers post burns. If you have a burn and there's a contracture which you don't treat properly and it keeps on breaking down, chronic irritation for 20 years, you get what we call a marginal ulcer, which is nothing else except the squamous cell carcinoma on a previously burned area. These are very aggressive tumors. They don't usually metastasize because the burn that caused them initially usually destroyed the lymphatics. And as this is a carcinoma, the usual site of metastasis by lymphatics. Presentation, locally invasive without metastasizing from a pre-malignant tumor like Bowen's disease or chronic radiation dermatitis. Rapidly growing, widely invasive with metastasis, especially on squamous cell tumors arising from normal skin. They can grow, start initially as an erythematous plaque or an nodule with indistinctive margin. Surface may be flat or verrucous, means warty-like, or ulcerative. Histopathologically, malignant epithelial cells are seen extending down into the dermis, which give you a classical picture, what we call them horns or pearls. How you dissect them, they go down into the tissue, and you find little round areas of histopathology. This is a classical diagnosis of squamous cell carcinoma. Treatment, surgery, or radiation. Here's a patient with squamous cell carcinoma of the lip. He's a chronic smoker. How many smokers do we have here?
No one.
Oh, okay. Believe that and I'll tell you another one. Okay. This is an unfortunate guy. You see even where he puts his cigarettes. Coming right or going like this, you see? There he goes again. Very aggressive. We had to excise most of his lower lip. Then we used local tissue, as you see here, to reconstruct the lip. Of course, we de-epithelialized the area to give us a more reddish tissue. Of course, we're plastic surgeons. We always have to talk about our surgeries. Okay, here it is. He's much better. Here is a squamous cell carcinoma from a previous pyonidal sinus, which hasn't been treated for so long and ignored. Chronic irritation. Any tissue that's chronically irritated is commonly going there. This is a tumor coming out from a neglected pyonidal sinus. Okay. Now, types of nevi. Very important. We talked about tumors. Let's talk about nevi. Everybody says, well, should I cut out all the nevi I have? No. Junctional nevi are small circumscribed light brown or black flap tissues, slightly raised or rarely contains hair, mainly lies between the dermis and the epidermis. These may be found in the mucous membrane or genitalia, soles or palms. If they are found in the mucous membrane on the genitalia or soles or palms, they should be excised because this is an area of chronic irritation. Okay, that's one of the areas which we would excise them. Intradermal nevi are small spots, color ranging from blue to black and black. They're flat, dome-shaped compound found both in dermis and epidermis. All that I'm telling you here is found in the books. I haven't made anything up, alhamdulillah. So that's why I'm going through it very fast, and you should all read it in the book. And I'll be more than happy to tell it to you again and again and again if you don't understand it. Now, dysplastic nevi means they're usually pink-based, indistinctive with irregular edges. They have a family history, a very important suspicious lesion. They're congenital. All the dysplastic are congenital tissue or embryonic tissue. They're excess in 1% of all newborns. Most lesions are small, and they're considered to be precancerous. So if you have a dysplastic nevi, they should be excised too. Now, other nevi. Now, which nevi should you excise and which nevi you shouldn't excise? They say any nevus, we'll go through it very fast because I know you're all hungry. You're not hungry?
The nevi which are present at irritation areas?
Any areas, we said, in sensitive area like the palm, the skin, the mucosa, or the sole?
And dysplastic
nevi. Or dysplastic nevi. What else?
Lignant,
anything nevi which increases in size, suddenly increase in size, if it becomes itchy or reddish, if it bleeds, it forms a crust, or changes in color. Uh-huh. If you have any of these things, these nevi should be excised. All the other nevi should be neglected and left alone unless we are suspicious of them or do any of these things, and then we will actually go and excise them. Melanomas, or you come to me at the end of the month and we need cash, we say, okay, we'll excise all your nevi. Okay, melanomas. Ultraviolet light increases the risk of melanomas. They have a familial history which can be recognized. The average person has we're talking about nevi. Why are we coming out here again? Okay, 15 to 20 nevi, 1/3 of all melanomas arise from pigmented nevi. Okay, from a mole. Okay, we come out again now. Color. Focal shades red, blue, and white are darkening in color. They should be excised. Recent rapid enlargement greater than 10 milliliters should be excised. Okay. Shape, if it's irregular margin or notching, they should be excised. Ulceration or bleeding or crusting, they should be excised. Inflammation, redness, as we talked, should be excised. Locations, the lower back extremities or in the bands area, which is back of the hands, back of the arm, back. Posterolateral part of the arms, the neck, or the scalp should be excised. Classification of melanomas based on histology. That means we have to take an incisional biopsy so we can classify them. They can be superficial spreading, the most common type seen in pre-existing mole. Or the common place of this is on the back of both on the back of both sexes, male and female. Nodular melanoma becomes large and ulcerates before it's even noticed. Sertigo melanoma are the most common melanomas that occur in old age. Classifications, there's two classifications, Clark's and Breslow. They're basically the same. I'll talk to you about Clark. There, one is talking about the different layers and the other talks in millimeter. But basically it's the same thing. You take this tissue and you send it to histopathology. In situ means it is above the basement membrane. Mm-hmm. It has a morbidity and mortality rate of 0. If it invades the papillary dermis, it's 4% morbidity and mortality. If it fills the papillary dermis extending to the junctional dermis, it has a morbidity and mortality of 33%. If it goes beyond the papillary and reticular dermis, it goes to about 61%. If it goes in the subcutaneous tissue, it has a 78% morbidity and mortality.
What type of morbidity are we talking about?
Huh?
What type of morbidity are we talking about?
Okay. Morbidity means you get an ulceration, it goes inside, it may metastasize to the liver. That's all the type of morbidity we're talking about. Now there's high risk areas, as we said, bands area, which is the back, the posterior lateral part of the arm, the posterior lateral part of the neck, and the scalp. These are considered high-risk area with poor survival rate. If you give melanoma in this, the survival rate is less, and they have a poor prognosis.
And also you mentioned before the mucous membrane and the
palms. Mucous membrane palms, this is for moles. Okay. I'm talking here about melanoma. Now, why do you think these are bad prognosis? They have multiple lymphatic drainage. These areas don't have one lymphatic drainage. The lymphatic drainage of these areas are so vast that if you want to excise them, it can go right, it can go left, it can go up, it can go down. Mm-hmm. The more lymphatic drainage you have, the more lines of metastasis you have. So that's why we call them poor areas of survival and risk. Prophylactic node dissection should not be done. In level 1 and 2, no node dissection is done. We're talking about Clark's classification. In level 3, some people said we should do it, some people say no. Level 4 and 5, prophylactic node dissection should be done. Now, node dissection is not advised in lymphatic drainage more than one area. Patients age greater than 70, because they have more morbidity, they're probably diabetic, hypertensive, poor hearts. Huh? Serious concurrent disease, he has another respiratory problem, he has another problem, he has a severe heart problem, which may kill him just from the anesthesia. And unresectable metastasis. That means if he has his liver involved, that's it, he's had it. You want to dissect this? Okay, but he'll die from the liver tumor itself. Are we so clear so far?
I didn't get it. Now, the lymphatic drainage, I think if it's present, we have to remove it because it's high risk.
If the lymphatic, no, these areas are not, we said, if it's level 1 and 2, we don't do a node dissection. Level 3, nasigulu yes, nasigulu no. 4 and 5, we should do a node dissection. But if you have these areas here, it's not advisable to do node dissection. Why? Because the lymphatic drainage more than one area. Because the patient's age is greater than 70.
So why if the lymphatic drainage has more than one area? So
where do you want to dissect? You want to dissect the axilla, pre-aortic, submammary? You can't. Yani, what do you want to dissect? Unless you have a metastasis, you go after it. But prophylactic means without any concurrent disease, without anything. Mm-hmm. Prognosis. Most important is the size of the tumor and the depth of invasion. Less than 2 centimeter in diameter and less than 0.7 millimeter in depth, they have a good curable and resectable, curable by wide local excision, usually 4 to 5 centimeters. Nodular melanoma with ulceration have a poor prognosis lesion. Lesions in the extremities, better prognosis than in the trunk. Because if it's in the limb, you can amputate the limb. But if it's in the trunk, I can't amputate the trunk. Huh?
Yeah.
And worse goes worse, you have a very bad limb. Tumor here. Play. Chop chop salami. He's still alive. Huh? Okay. Again, unfortunately, they outlive us. Women have a better 5-year survival than men. عشان كده ربنا جاي يجوز أربعة. Non-surgical treatments. Treatment small metastasizes with BCG is not suitable for large lesions. Now, BCG is your vaccination for TB. Now, what's the idea of using BCG? It's an old method. Some people still use it, some people don't. What you're doing is you're stimulating your cell-mediated immunity. Your cell-mediated immunity, you're kicking it in the butt. Wake up. So it gets any abnormal cells, you remove it. Okay? Melanoma are usually radio-resistant and rarely used for definite treatment and may be used only for palliation. You know what palliation means?
For the survival.
And prophylactic, just to improve the quality of life, but not for treatment. Chemotherapy with phenylalanine and mustard and other drugs have been used for survival and limb preservation. Long-term palliation is treatment by a combination of surgery, radiotherapy, and chemotherapy. Thank you very much. Any problems, please? Wait. We still have 20 minutes. You can have a bigger two sandwiches instead of one. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Ya Shabab. يوم الامتحان يكرم المرء أو يهان أو يهان أو يهان. Like the last exam, غيرنا لهم السؤال أول ثلاثة يكتبوا لي السؤال الجواب اللي قبله الباتش اللي قبله. فيعني جبنا لهم واحد inhalation injury والثاني هان. اللي شافوا الهان he can't breathe. بس is خربان. البعض يده انت شايف. معليش. في النهاية قلت لهم please it's a different question. Think that this is question is alone. فيعني في الامتحان يكرم المرء أو يهان أو يهان والله يعين الله أو يهان. Any questions, I'm here to answer them. يا شباب آخر فرصة الله يوفقك.
ها؟ الله يعين.
عملت حضور ولا لا؟ اكتب ورقة حضور حطوها. I don't care في الحضور much but I have to do it. وانتو حجوني اساسا يا بخي. بالتوفيق يا شباب الله يعينكم. ولا تزعلوا مننا لو ضحكنا معكم شوية.
لا لا
الحين ولا بلا سباب. الحين ولا بلا سباب.
ما في ضحك.